This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Owen Driven, Joy 94.9's multicultural program. The Owen Driven is a symbol used across Australia to represent multiculturalism, anti-racism and international understanding.
Today we're talking to Dave from the UK. We'll be talking about his life in the UK, coming to Australia, a bit about his depression and he encountered and then moving on from that.
We have hit the 21st century, so you can contact us in lots of ways. SMS 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au.
On Facebook, we're listed under Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9, and Twitter is Orange Ribbon 949. Okay, so welcome to the show, Dave. So give us a quick summary of who you are. I've just got a couple of minutes as an intro. So where are you from? How long have you been over here?
Okay, well, I moved over here about 3 years ago, originally from Peterborough in the UK, lived in London for about 20 years, and now here permanently, loving it.
Yep. So what brought you over here?
Pretty simple, the weather. Won't believe it, but yeah, I am so over the UK weather, you won't believe it, but yeah, this year it's been a bit rough summer-wise, but yeah, generally,
have you been through Melbourne winter yet though?
Oh, yeah.
It's very cold.
Yeah.
Not compared to the UK.
Like you wouldn't believe, yeah.
Because Mark's from Wales, I'm from New Zealand,
yeah.
And you're from the UK. It's sort of a, yeah.
Bit of a mix. Interesting mix.
Bit of a mix. Yes.
It's like a fruitcake.
With a gin. With the branding.
With a gin. A bit of gin and brandy.
Yeah, yeah,
very nice.
Which fruit are you?
Steady on. Orange peel.
Okay,
so you say you're from Peterborough, so to give the listener a bit of a geography lesson.
Yeah, so Peterborough is kind of in the Midlands. It's on the train line between London and Edinburgh.
Okay, about how far from London?
Halfway. Yeah, about 2 hours north of London.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how long were you living there?
Peterborough for 20 years, yeah.
Uh-huh. And what sort of size of the town is that?
Oh, it was an expanding town, so blimey, about sort of size of Cambridge, Leicester, a bit like Bendigo, Ballarat, sort of that size over here. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you're now living in Melbourne.
Yep.
So you're single, taken, partnered?
All of the above. Yeah, yeah. Delete is applicable. Let's run with that one. Uh-oh.
So define your personality. What do you, if people meet for the first time, what would they likely to expect?
They'd run in the opposite direction. Yes. Yeah.
You're quite an out there kind of person, I think.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No?
No, you've gone all
I'm
shy
blushing
there.
I'm blushing,
there.
Yes. Oh, like English rose.
He has gone as a bit of a beach shape now.
Yeah, I call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right. That's how it should be, I think.
Exactly.
I've gone red. I'm going all for red.
I know, it's quite hot in the studio, though.
I'm embarrassed. No, I'm not. It's all good.
We haven't
even
started asking any digital questions.
I know. Oh, my God. Here we go. Let's go. Let's rock and roll.
But your first track, we're going to play a bit of ABBA.
Yay!
And this is SOS. You're with Mark and Leo on Owen Driven on Joy 94.9.
Have your say on air at joy.org.au.
More diversity over the weekends than any other radio station. Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Owen Driven on Joy 94.9, Joy's multiculturalism program. And you're with Mark and Leo for the next hour. We're chatting with UK Dave. How are you going, Dave?
Wonderfully, thank you.
We're about 15 minutes in. How are you feeling?
Very excited.
Fantastic. Very
excited. The redness is subdued.
Subdued to a light pink.
Yes. So obviously that track doesn't need much of an introduction, but tell us about it.
Yeah, yeah. So that was, I'm a big ABBA fan. Big ABBA fan. Grew up with them. Loved them. It's kind of relates to my early years and my wonderful parents' marriage and the traumas and trials and tribulations of having parents that really shouldn't have got married. Mm-hmm. And how I was feeling in terms of wanting to kind of get out of it because it just did my head in.
Yeah.
Mm.
So when you say they shouldn't have got married, what do you mean?
Well, in that they were just incompatible, probably. Mm-hmm. So my parents got married in March and I was born in September, so I worked that one out. And
you were
probably
premature then, were you?
steady on. You're a naughty boy. Just the aftermath of all that basically my father took it out on me, I think.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he had to get married and commit himself to my mother, blah, blah, blah.
So one of those generational things that there wasn't much of an option apart from...
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. He was pressured by his mother to get married. That's what happens. And, you know, the conversation, it's just... You've got to deal with it. Mm-hmm.
So as a child, when did you realise that your parents weren't really supposed to be, like, together?
Blimey. Probably an interesting one was when sat at the dinner table and my mother had a black eye.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, had a black eye and said that she'd fallen into a table or something, I don't know. And it transpired after my father had died that he'd been beating her up.
Wow.
And that was full on. And she'll never talk about it. But apparently he'd been beating her up regularly. And
you had no idea? You didn't suspect anything?
No, didn't expect anything until after my father died 5 years ago and she told me. Oh, and that was a bit of an eye-opener.
And what was that like when your mum was getting beaten by your father? It was quite a tough thing to deal with.
Well, I only found out a bit after I died.
Yeah.
So it was like hit and run. My mother didn't want to talk about it. So you just go, okay, don't want to talk about it. Let's move on.
Yeah.
What can you do? I knew it was a rough relationship. Father was a nightmare.
So you sort of found your solace in ABBA then, was it?
Found my escape in ABBA and a number of other things. Yes, a number of other things.
So tell us about your childhood. You grew up in Petersburg.
And Peterborough.
Peterborough,
yeah.
And then you moved to a small village called Helpston.
Born in Helpston, then moved to Warrington, moved into the burbs when I was about 10. Into secondary school. Had a few girlfriends, as you do, maybe, when you're at school and you're young.
I never.
I did. And
you were
a popular boy in class?
Was I a popular boy in class? I guess I was, yeah.
Just for the girls?
Just for the girls at that point of time, yes. Just for the girls, yes, at that point of time.
And how about your family, siblings and stuff?
Single child, two stepsisters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but bit distant. So, they were kind of went that way, and I went that way, and I went, hello, how are you? And they went, bugger off.
Were they with you when you were growing up? Or?
Yeah. They apparently came over when I was younger, but we just went like that. Uh-huh. Different planets.
So
we didn't have much to do with them, and just your life, their life.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, you just go with the flow.
And with living in a small village like Helpston.
Yeah.
So how big a village would that have been?
Oh, blimey.
Did everyone know everyone?
Yeah. Pretty much so. Yeah, yeah. And I was pretty popular at primary school, kind of not the chosen one, that's a bit naff, but, you know, kind of quite popular.
Yeah.
Were
you the jock or?
I guess so, yeah.
Mario.
The jock. I'm not sure quite what that means, but yeah, we'll go with that one.
So when you're in high school, what did you like doing? What was your favourite subject? Did you like sport? Did you like...
Sport? Excuse me?
Be a sport boy.
Favourite subject. I guess it would have been languages, French and German.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you travel much when you were a kid?
Not with my parents, no. I did all that when I was... left school, did my degree, went around Europe. Tick, tick, tick.
So in school, you were saying that you sort of seemed to excel in your... GCSE level and then sort of it all flopped after that. So for the listener, GCSE is what the 16...
Explain that type of stuff, A levels and
16.
A levels.
What HSCs, what are they over here?
That is year 12.
Yeah, year 12. Yeah. So I got 10 of those, A, Bs mainly, A's and B's. And then to my A levels, which is, I don't know what you do at 18 over
which
here.
Higher,
yeah. I got three of those. CDD.
But that's pretty good, though.
Bombed. Not really, no.
Really?
Bombed. So I was going to go to university. Bombed. Went to Poly. Portsmouth, on the coast. Beach boy.
Right.
Yeah, beach boy. So that's where I had my first woohoo with a young man, a banker.
On the beach.
On the beach, how embarrassing. Yes,
so
on the beach in Portsmouth.
In Portsmouth, it's quite chilly in Portsmouth too. Isn't
no, it was summer.
No, summer. Okay,
I
summertime.
Can't believe I'm saying this. How embarrassing.
Oh, I think anyway. We all want to know now.
So there's lots of sailors down in Portsmouth, aren't there?
No, this was a banker.
Oh, really?
A banker in Portsmouth? Oh. My goodness.
Yes.
So, how old are you back then?
How old was I then? 20 years old.
Oh, so that's quite late for...
But this is 1988, 89.
Ooh. You did the maths, people.
People with maths can do work out your age now.
Thank you.
So what was it like the first time? Did you realise straight away that this is what I want?
Well, I knew from my early teens. Right. I knew kind of from my early teens, but never really did anything about it. No. Just too closeted.
So the first time that you did it, what did you feel? Was it like...
Intrigued.
Yes, this is what I'm meant to be. Was it
intrigued?
Sort of...
No, it took me another 5 years.
Really?
Yeah. It took me another 5 years to make the final decision. And I'm not joking, it took me another 5 years.
Because until you feel comfortable with yourself.
Yeah. So there was one weekend where I met a guy on the Friday night and slept with my then girlfriend on the Saturday night. And then on Sunday thought, I need to sort myself out here. And I did.
Cool. Mm. And then you said you knew from your early teens.
Mm.
So.
Well, kind of had an inkling. Thought, something funny going on here, not quite sure what. But then took a while to think about, like a decade to kind of like, okay, this is...
And is that partly because of where you were living?
Society.
And there was no...
You know, where you look at what was going on worldwide then, in the late 80s, and, you know, it's like so different. It's so different.
Yeah.
You know, so different. Incomparable. Amazing.
So you had your experience in Portsmouth, and so you were there for university.
Yep.
So was there any sort of gay life in the university?
I was in the closet then.
Yeah.
In the closet. I didn't really come out till I was 26.
Yeah.
And I'm serious about that. I didn't come out till I was 26.
Cool. Mm. And then was that because you were in a different city or just...
Different mindset, I think.
Different mindset. Yeah. It just didn't, like, I mean, there was, when I was going out with the nurse, I was 23 then, 23, and she was sharing in a shared accommodation in London, and she was sharing with two gay guys, and she was like, oh, I'm sharing with two gay guys. And I was like, oh, no, oh my God. And I actually, you know, at that point was like, ooh, two gay guys, and it was 23, so funny how you can change in 3 years. So, you know, even that was after I'd had the beach thing, you know, kind of knowing, but still had this mindset.
You're still intrigued by it.
Yeah. There's still this weird sort of quirky psychology where your brain is grappling with the whole thing, you know. And as I say, then, back in the late 80s, everything was different. You know, we had Boy George, we had Pet Shop Boys, blah, blah, blah. Whereas now it's a lot different.
Yeah. And you saw, I'm not like Boy George, therefore.
Kind of, yeah. And I don't think the Pet Shop Boys that were out by then. No. They came out, mid-90s or something.
Pet Shop Boys were 80...
Yeah, but when they came out...
Oh, right.
They were in the closet for a while.
They were very ambiguous for a
exactly.
while.
Exactly, Mondo. Yes, the Pet Shop Boys tale.
Well, you're on Owen Driven with Mark and Leo, and our special guest from the UK, Dave. More Owen Driven after this song from Depeche Mode.
Reaching far and wide. Stream us now. joy.org.au.
And welcome back to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9. Today we're speaking with Dave. If you want to SMS or give us a message, you can SMS us on 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Or
you can also tweet or poke us on Facebook or Twitter. We just search for... Orange Ribbon 949. Now, Dave, that was a track, of course, by 80s group Depeche Mode. Why Depeche Mode? Because it's quite a weird group for a gay guy to get into. So why Depeche Mode and why that track?
Depeche Mode. Look, I'm a big 80s fan. Grew up with the 80s. So Pet Shop Boys, Duran Duran, Thompson Twins. Oh, my God, I could go on. Massive, massive collection. Enjoy the Silence. I was trying to think of a track that kind of summed up that period, 90s of my life. Sort of coming out, getting into a relationship, sort of came out and then dived straight into a seven-year relationship, which was quite an interesting approach to getting on with my life. Enjoy the Silence, Royal Vauxhall Tavern, kind of was there after the relationship ended, but massive influence that wonderful individual had on my life, and really established me as to who I'm now.
Okay, so before we get into that a bit more, you wanted to dedicate the previous track as well.
Yes, SOS dedicated to Janice. I'll be in trouble when I go home.
Yeah, I thought I'd better save you on that one.
Good on you.
Try to do
Janice
it
and Michael Bublé. They know who they are. They're my neighbours downstairs.
Cool.
Yep.
So thanks for making you play an ABBA song.
Hey? No problem. And thank you, Janice, for everything.
So you mentioned that long relationship.
Yeah.
Take us back to that. And how did that come about?
How did it come about? So I met, actually sort of made the decision about who I was, being gay. Then met this guy and started seeing him for a month. And then we kind of fizzled. It kind of fizzled, died off. And this, the relationship after that, the guy happened to be a friend of the first guy I met. So I sort of ended up one weekend going out with one guy, and the next week, this sounds terrible, but anyway, that's what it happened. And so dived straight into a seven-year relationship. It was a bit sort of Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton, if you know their relationship and divorce and getting back together again, a bit turbulent and blah, blah, blah.
So how old are you around this time?
Oh, goodness me, 27, 28. Yeah, and he was 18 months older. So, but brilliant, brilliant, brilliant person, and they know who they are. So,
you've been out, probably about a year or two?
Two, 3 years, yeah. No, hang on, less than that. No, hang on. Three months. No, it's actually been 3 months. 3 months making the firm decision, but I'd had this fuzzy period when I was in and out. Yeah. I took a while to sort myself out, basically. Sorry.
So how did your mindset go from sort of getting used to, gosh, I am gay, and then suddenly you're in a relationship?
Just got on with it.
Yeah.
Didn't got on with it and sort of ended up, it's like a roller coaster, just got on the car and away you go. Up you go and way, and it was amazing, amazing.
So what attributes attracted you to him?
What did you say on it?
Okay, there's a classic one where we were in, not Casbah, Cuba, Charing Cross Road, and he was doing the old romantic thing, and I said, okay, let's cut to the quick. Do you have a baby skin, blah, blah, blah? And he goes, yes. And I would nearly feel like, okay, done deal. So he was a muscle dude with very nice complexion, .. nice personality, etc. He was the one. So 7 years.
Yeah. So you've mentioned a few places there in London. So were you living at London at that time? Or was it
I was in London. So London 20 years from 1990.
Yep. So you explore the gay
Soho
district there?
Oh, yes, indeedy. Yes, I know quite a few. Well, things have changed a lot. I mean, in the last 8 years, the scene in London's trebled in size. It's amazing.
Yeah. But back then, obviously, coming from, different parts of the country, coming to the major capital city, it's more out there, so you can sort of be yourself and explore and
But still in the late 80s, still a little bit in the box.
There was still
a lot of homophobia around, still a lot of lack of acceptance. Like, we had the big Section 28, we had the big march, we had equality, all those marches and stuff going on at that time. So, Mr. Blair, for all his faults, did massive things for progressing gay issues in the UK at the time, probably globally.
So when you said Section 28 then, for the listener who's not really sure...
Oh, that was Mrs. Thatcher's big stamp on promotion of homosexuality in schools. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a good person. Full stop.
Yeah, then luckily that got repealed eventually.
Exactly.
It took a long time.
Yeah, though. It did. But again, that was a good thing that Mr. Blair did, even though he... ..
Yeah. So back to the relationship that you were in for 7 years, was that all in London, or did you travel at all there?
Yeah. So London's perfect place to be if you want to go around Europe. Did most of the capitals in Europe. And pretty awesome place. Pretty awesome Europe. It's fantastic. And did a lot of travelling with him as well. Sitges annually for 10 times, yeah.
Right. Were you good travellers together? Was it?
Yeah, good team. Yeah. Good team. That's what makes a relationship, I think, good team.
Good team.
Complemented each other very neatly.
Okay.
Yeah, and just very, just melded, just like that.
Was anything that you didn't see eye to eye on? Was there something that you both had strong opinions or they didn't really click with?
No.
You both jabbed
really
well.
One of those quirky things where you just go like that. Like
fantastic.
A jigsaw. Yeah, that's why, you know, 7 years. You don't stick with someone for 7 years because you don't get on. Mm. Yeah, pretty awesome.
So talking about the 7 years, how did that come to an end?
Oh, my goodness. Things had been bubbling for a while. It was like a volcano. We just started drifting apart. He was more career-wise and I was more wanting a bit of freedom. I think it was the challenge of me coming out and going straight into a relationship, and I wanted more independence and to see the world, and Australia was calling. So, yeah, we eventually went pa-ding like that and separated. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and I came over to Australia the first time around about 8-9 years ago. Yeah.
So you've been over to Australia a couple of times, which you just explained. So your first sojourn over here was when?
8-9 years ago, secondment, very, very lucky. Worked at a certain organisation that remained nameless for 2 years, got sponsored PR, and was going to stay and went back, unfortunately, because parents kicked in.
Okay, so we'll come back to your story after this break.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Welcome back to Joy 94.9. You're tuned into Orange Ribbon with Mark and Leo on your Saturday afternoon. We are joined by UK Dave. Dave?
Hello.
How's things going? You all right?
Wonderfully.
Fantastic.
I'm really enjoying this.
Now, that track we played before the break was, of course, by the gorgeous Sia.
Indeedy.
Why that track?
So, You've Changed and seen her in concert. She's just amazing. I mean, what a voice and so much energy. Fantastic in concert. Everyone should go and see her in concert. She's so cool. You've Changed, come out of the seven-year relationship, regained my independence, my freedom, new country, new life. World's my oyster. World is my oyster.
So at this point, you have moved to Melbourne.
Yep.
Of course, we should ask why Melbourne? Because everyone seems to
Melbourne? Yeah,
go to Sydney.
No, not Sydney. Too much like London. So I did a round the world trip when I was in between doing my degree and starting my job. And Melbourne is where I ended up when I kind of ran out of money and ended up working at the town council and lived up in Thornbury in a backpackers and absolutely loved the place. Absolutely love the place, and that's why I came back. So I've done been to all the state capitals. Melbourne is the place to be. Love it, absolutely love it. Beach,
it's a great city.
Just love everything. Yeah.
So how long were you here the first time?
18 months. I think it was about 20 months in total. Yeah. So did a lot of travelling around the state, Northern Territory, went over to Western Australia, New Zealand for 3 weeks. Loved it, absolutely loved it. Brilliant time. Brilliant time.
Cool. And how come you left after the 18 months?
So I went back because the parents were getting on, wasn't quite sure how long they'd be around for. And so went back, but just wrong decision. Couldn't settle. Could not settle. Hated the weather. The winters were getting worse, colder. And so came back after a year, thought, this wasn't a dream, this is reality, and I'm coming back. So it took me another 2 years to make the decision, and here I am 3 years ago, moved back again. Lock, stock, and barrel. Full stop, here I am.
So you're here permanently now?
Permanent, mon. Yep, got the PR renewed and applying for citizenship this year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So when you first moved to, because I moved to Melbourne from Auckland, and now this is my 11th year here.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first moved to Melbourne, I had my top five areas that I wanted to live in, and they were like Richmond, South Yarra, Prahran,
type of thing.
Did you have your, I suppose, a wish list of where you wanted to be based?
It's really funny. I can see from where I am at the moment, from my balcony, the first apartment I lived in.
Really?
And I'm not joking, it's hysterical. So I can. Yeah. So I'm near Williams Malvern, Prampool, Chapel Street, you know, everything, .. Fascinating. I switch Grindr on, it starts smoking.
Right in the heart of it.
Indeedy, indeedy. My iPad goes, oh, please, can you switch this off?
So when you first came here, sort of the 8 years ago, did you explore the gay scene as it was then?
As you do,
And how did you find that compared to London?
Brilliant. Well, I mean, London was just starting to expand then, so I loved it over here. I remember the first night I was here, went to the Laird, got chatting to this guy about Harry Potter films. It was hysterical, and went around the scene. Thing with Melbourne, it's so chilled out that you've got a relatively small gay scene because everybody just just gets on with it.
Yeah,
there's no baggage. It's brilliant. Dinner parties, blah blah blah. Just gets on with it.
So your chat up line was Harry Potter. Was it his chat up line or yours?
I beg your pardon.
Was it his chat up line or yours?
No, we just got talking about Harry Potter films.
As you
it
do.
Was very funny. Yeah. No, it was very funny. Right. He was a good, cool guy. Love the Laird. Love the Laird.
Cool.
So and no ones came out then.
I beg your pardon. What?
That's dreadful, isn't it?
Yeah. So so you've spent your time here, went back home. When you went back home, was that back to London or to Peterborough?
Back to London, back to my old flat, back to Streatham, but just not happy. Not happy, not settled, and just took a while to make the decision to move back here again.
Yeah.
Had one relationship, but again, just wasn't settled. So, you know, it was always, Melbourne was, well, the seed was sown.
Yeah.
Seed was sown 20 years ago, and there was no way that seed was going to die.
Okay.
In effect.
So you've been back here now for 3 years?
Back for 3 years. And just love the place. Wherever I go, Melbourne is home now. Melbourne is home. So, you know,
I think it's time for some more music. Bit of Black Eyed Peas. You're on Orange Ribbon, Joy 94.9 with Mark and Leo and our special guest Dave from the UK. Welcome back to Joy 94.9. Owen Driven with Mark and Leo and a special guest Dave from the UK. Dave, why the Black Eyed Peas track?
Black Eyed Peas track, I got a feeling. Now this is where we're up to, second time round in Australia. I mean, what a brilliant song. And everybody, if they've not seen the video, the Oprah video to this, Google it. I got a feeling Black Eyed Peas, Oprah, just amazing. The flash mob in Chicago.
In Chicago, yeah.
Stunning.
It's awesome.
Absolutely the most amazing, amazing spectacle ever.
It just gives you goosebumps, doesn't it?
Yeah, just awesome. Brilliant song. I got a feeling. So this relates to my second time around in Australia, the putting down roots, not having a permanent job, just I got a feeling this is the future, but not really knowing where it's going. So jobs, career, relationships, just blank page.
Cool. And one thing we want to get onto is that sort of late last year, you went through a bit of a rough patch. So talking about feelings up and down, you've got diagnosed with depression, I suppose, is the best way to put it.
Diagnosed, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was going out with a guy for a while, and then that relationship ended, and I started wobbling, didn't deal with the breakup very well, and then work went a bit pear-shaped, and as a result of that, I plunged into a very dark hole, where I wouldn't get out of bed for a long period of time. Yeah, bit grim.
And how long did that sort of go on for?
About the really dark period was about a month, maybe up to 2 months. Really bad, really, really bad. Managed to drag myself out about November time. November. Yeah. Threw myself
what
into the gym.
What got you through that dark time?
Me. Yes, me, like, and my strength. me and my support work in a network, really close friends, and my wonderful GP and psychologist. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So when you were sort of in that going downhill phase, like
you don't go downhill, you plummet. You just go plummet. It's like a high diver, straight down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
it's quite scary.
When you're down there, sort of just try to explain a bit how it feels to...
You're in the bottom of a well, and it's very dark, and life ain't worth living. There's no point living. Yeah, it's pretty grim.
And did you reach out to find any sort of counselling on that or help on that? And
It's pretty confusing because you don't know what's going on. You don't know who you are, where you are. You've lost all energy. You look on the web. You do a Google. You just get bombarded with information, phone numbers. I mean, I could have, you know, it's quite difficult because you feel so insecure. You feel you've lost control of everything. You want to reach out, but you don't want to put all your cards on the table because you feel inadequate. So you kind of just have a little shell, and you're just kind of like a snail in the shell, and you just cut off from the world.
So you just recluse.
You just hide in bed. You hide in bed under your duvet, in effect, because that's the only place that's safe. Only place that's safe. Yeah.
And have you got any advice for sort of maybe a listener out there who's in that space at the moment?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, the only person that is going to get the individual out of a deep depression is the individual themselves.
Yeah.
Is the individual themselves. And, it, you know, believe me, it is a long journey. It's a very hard journey. You'll get people telling you, pull yourself together, blah, blah, blah. They, unless they've been through it, they will not realize how hard, how exhausting, how tiring it is. Baby steps, you know, even just getting out of the apartment, it just like, what's the point? You know, you get your sight, you know, people going, just go out, go get a coffee. What's the point? You don't see a point. So eventually you do and you move on and you get on with your life. So, yeah.
Okay.
And I did that and here I am.
And how long did that take you to get from?
So okay, I'm gonna... September was the depth. My 43rd birthday was a write-off. Uh-huh. Was a write-off because I was so depressed. Managed to come out and get a job in December. So back on board in December. Yeah.
Well, for any listeners out there, we did look up some support numbers and things just to give people something to look at. We'll put those on our Facebook as well. So our Facebook is Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9. But there's Lifeline, which the phone number is 131114. Beyond Blue was 1300 22 46 36. And then there's the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard of 03 9663 2939. So we'll put all that on the Facebook as well.
Now, Dave, we've had a message come through from Tom, who is enjoying the show very much this afternoon. His cousin, Richard, committed suicide a few years ago because of homophobia and how his family responded. Tom is really appreciating listening to our show this afternoon and hearing our positive experiences. So thanks, Tom, for that.
Yep, thanks very much.
It's good to sort of relate to people out there and what they're going through as well.
It's a hard thing, and you know the difficult thing is you often don't know people around you what's going on inside their heads, and it's really just being open, supportive. How are you going? Just checking in with your friends daily.
We're back with Dave from the UK after these messages.
You're listening to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9, and we're speaking to Dave. Just before we get on back into Dave's story, we also had a message from Hugh, who's sent a messaging saying, "Hi guys, listening from Delhi." So thanks very much for listening in, Hugh, I've forgotten your name. So Hugh was or is still sort of our co-presenter, but he's off on a bit of a sabbatical in India at the moment, enjoying himself. So
when's he coming back? We want to know.
Yeah, Hugh, when are you coming back? Are you still on a beach somewhere sunning yourself?
So, Dave, you got out of that awful dark place. Where are you at now?
Where I'm at now? Pretty good place, I think, at the moment. Mind, body and soul. Not working. Quite happy with that. Sussing out options. Putting together a business plan. Just letting the universe decide where I go. I'm trying to slow down, but just being pushed. I'm studying hypnotherapy, body language. Just really loving life. Just really loving life. Yeah.
So, in the last few months, you've sort of started getting into the health side of things, shall we call it?
Yes.
So tell us a bit about that.
So the studying the hypnotherapy has been fascinating. The NLP, body language, just amazing. So if anybody's seen Lie to Me, I'm a bit like that Tim Roth guy that ducks and dives and a bit of a geezer, and it's just hysterically funny. Just hysterically funny. So I sometimes...
So can you now tell when people are lying?
I try not to get into that space, but sometimes I get a little bit too much information and just have to close my eyes and go, oh, I didn't need to know that. Didn't need to know that. But it's very funny. Yeah. It's very funny. And I've started picking up ghosts as well, which is doing my head in, but I can cope with that. Yeah. And I'm not joking, I can sense ghosts if they're around. Yeah, that's
really?
Yeah, I can.
What do you see or feel? Or?
My arm goes solid.
Really?
My arm goes solid and the hairs come up. Yeah, so I can pick up there's a ghost around. Yeah, yeah.
Is there a ghost in the studio at the moment?
I'm not going to answer that one.
Yeah, I'd want to know.
No, I'm not going to answer that.
Okay.
So have you changed from sort of that... the person you were before, your depression.
I've lost 15 kilograms in weight. I threw myself into the gym. I look at myself in the mirror now and I'm like, you know, I suppose I'm sort of one of those mental health bodies. Just in a really good space, really good space, really happy with life. So it just shows you from the depths of depression, it has to be the individual themselves, turn life around.
Yeah.
Turn life around. Just don't take no shit. Excuse my French, but don't take nonsense from anybody. Uh-huh. You're beautiful.
Your final words. Yeah, mentioned Pamela Stevenson and Sarah Ferguson.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, Pamela Stevenson. Yeah. So I saw a shrink wrap. Pamela Stevenson, married to Billy Connolly, did an interview with Sarah Ferguson.
Yeah.
And Sarah Ferguson. I think most people know about Sarah Ferguson. The up and down she's gone through, and just you know, she had a rough life with her parents. Just said to her daughters, "You are beautiful," and you know, you've just got a daily basis. Think to yourself, "You're beautiful." Get on with your life.
Cool.
Enjoy.
Well, as you can hear, the music is starting up in the background. So we've come to the end of the show.
Perfect. Thank you very much. It's been delightful.
Thanks for joining us, Dave.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been great to have you in the studio.
It's been wonderful being here.
And that was Owen Dribben for another week. Also, thanks to our lovely support, program support, Andrew on the front desk. Thank you so much, Andrew. And coming up next on Joy 94.9, we have got the Joy Taste of Radio show. Now, this is Joy's newest on-air personalities, and they are going to be on air for the very first time. So stick around for that.
Will be an interesting show.
Will be.
So if you want to comment on the show or have any interesting stories to tell us, then you can contact us on our Facebook and Twitter. So look up Orange Ribbon Joy 94.9. We're always interested in hearing other stories, and maybe we can get you on air one day.
And we are back same time, same day next Saturday from 5 p.m. for all the news from around Australia and the world. Interesting stories, interesting chat, interesting music. This is Owen Dribben with Mark and Leo. Have a fantastic week.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.